Our next panelist is Don Brown. Don does a lot of work with the upstream and sourcing part of the wireless industry. I don't know if you'd agree to this characterization, but I sort of see him as a prenup marriage counselor for the supply chain. So before you get into trouble, he sort of helps you think this through and makes it a more successful marriage. Is that correct?
I have no clue. But I'll go from there. Well, thank you very much. And Morley, I want to thank you and your colleagues for this kind invitation. This is an audience that I rarely have, never have a chance to speak in front of, and welcome the opportunity, and have no idea whether or not my presentation will make any sense to you guys, or whether or not our discussion here it really relates to what you're doing. But with that as an introduction, I will do my best to share with you our experience of trying to bring together the entire wireless industry supply chain to find ways to work together in ways that our previous speakers and others have addressed. So first, my one sentence explanation of what the IWPC is for those of you who don't know. We are a membership based international consortium of now more than 130 companies representing literally the entire wireless industry supply chain, from service providers all the way down to raw material suppliers and everybody in between, who desire to come together to create an international community of proactive leaders to identify new markets, new products, and new services, and find ways to work together to reduce costs and reduce time to market of all things wireless. Now, that's one sentence. I admit it's long, but it's still one sentence. I don't know if it's a prenup, as Omar just said, but that's what we do. We've done more than 55 workshops all throughout North America and Europe with literally thousands of experts to date, and we address all subjects that relate to the wireless industry, as I said, all things wireless, as an example, or as examples. We've looked at cellular infrastructure, OPEX, and CAPEX trade-offs at all levels of the network topology. We've looked at base station power amplifiers, for example, backhaul radio trade-offs, handsets, all aspects of handsets and smartphones, handset transmitter options. I'm not sure who it was this morning that said, well, we'll just put another radio in a handset. Somebody said that, like, offhand. Well, that's a very significant statement if you are a handset company. We look at all short-range radios, as Nancy from TI knows very well. We look at mobile broadband solutions, all options and trade-offs. And I don't know if Anil, is he still in the room? So Anil represents certainly one flavor of mobile broadband, and there are many flavors of mobile broadband nowadays. And we also look at all flavors of millimeter wave radios, particularly gigabit class radios, and even, believe it or not, millimeter wave radios are used in automotive radar, what you will be buying in your next car or your car after that. And we look at the wireless industry supply chain as layers, because it's just easy for us to think of it like that. And we think of the wireless industry as having seven layers, plus several what we call conversion layers. Particularly, the top layer, from our perspective, is the service provider. And below the next level below them are what we call the systems companies, or the OEM companies. Below them are the subsystems companies, the packaged component companies, the unpackaged component companies, what we call engineered materials and raw materials. And then between each of those layers, there are many other companies that are involved in design and the manufacturing between those layers. So through the IWPC process is to help our members, and this gets to the point of the previous speaker, is to help our members find ways to create strategic partnerships and strategic relationships. And I guess you want to call that prenup or matchmaking, perhaps that's correct, both real and virtual. And by that I mean sometimes the relationships actually result in a formal business relationship, and sometimes it's virtual for a particular project as opposed to a formal business contract. So If you take nothing else away from my presentation this morning, please take away the following very short sentence. Regardless of where you are in the supply chain, and I think this applies whether you're designing a building hardware or designing a building services like our previous speakers, 80% of the costs of whatever it is you're dealing with are designed in the first 20% of the project effort. It's the 80-20 rule. We live with it all of our lives, and that's a fairly well-established rule. So whatever you're going to be doing, the small team of people that start off developing this project, whatever the project is, whether you know it or not, whether you intend to or not, 80% of the costs of that project are designed in the first 20% of the effort. That's a very key statement. And we, the IWPC, try to get involved as early as possible in the first 20% of the effort to help address those 80% costs and of course, to reduce costs.
What share of that 80% cost?
What share did we get? No, none of that. How do we accomplish this? The answer is communication. It's a simple, very easy word to say. This room is filled with the world's leading experts at communication, but it's really hard to actually do. And we communicate literally through all levels of the wireless industry supply chain, through our efforts. So the supply chain story that many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with is what we call the whispering down the lane story. And by that I mean, so the service providers have a project, and they want to develop whatever it might be. And they come up with a set of specs, right or wrong, good or bad. And they now communicate those specs to their first-tier suppliers, who are typically the major OEMs, an Alcatel or a Cisco or a Nortel or a Lucent or somebody like that. And that communication is usually done to a marketing, marketing executive, but nonetheless a marketing channel. That major systems company then does its very best to parse that request into smaller pieces, which it then needs its supply chain to address. And then the OEM communicates to its next level of suppliers the pieces that are needed to make that piece of hardware or that system. Then those suppliers take that request and parse those into the pieces that they need from their suppliers and so on down the supply chain. Well, by human nature, what we've discovered is that everybody in that supply chain does their very best to communicate what's needed to their suppliers, but they usually add 20% in terms of specifications just to CYA. And I don't know if I want to say the words, but you all know what I mean. And so by the time you get down three or four or five levels to the lower in the supply chain, two things are true. Number one, the guys at the bottom of the supply chain who really have a huge amount of impact on what you're trying to do have absolutely no clue what the end product is. And secondly, two or three or four other people have added 20% each to that spec, and the result is the product that the guy at the bottom of the supply chain is being asked to deliver is probably 100% more expensive and will take five times longer to deliver. Well, that's unnecessary. If the guy at the bottom of the supply chain simply has an opportunity to hear what you need early, very early in the process, then many good things will happen. So that's what we call spec creep and margin creep. And so through communications, through very effective communications early in the process, you can drastically reduce spec creep and margin creep. At least that's been our experience. Now, why do this? You all have experts in your organizations who you give these responsibilities to. Well, what we've discovered is that everybody is an expert at something, but not at everything. And the person that they're communicating with are real people, and those people have expertise in whatever it is that they have expertise in, but not in everything else. And many people make lots of assumptions about and the enabling technologies that perhaps are lower down in the supply chain than they're currently talking with. As a result, these assumptions cost you huge amounts of money and huge amounts of time and delay, typically. So not everyone you know talks... Okay. So, as a result of that, in order to accomplish your mission, we believe, and it's been our experience, that you really need to talk to the whole supply chain all at one time. And the best way I can illustrate this is by giving you some examples, and I'm almost done. I hope I'm not running over time. So, since this is a group of carriers, I thought I'd start my examples by talking about carriers. I'm not going to name names, but I'll just say that one of the largest carriers in North America came to one of our workshops a couple years ago talking, and the workshop was about Metro Ethernet networks. And this carrier said, this particular person was responsible for writing a request for proposal, actually a request for quote, of a $1.5 billion Metro Ethernet network. So we had a room of about 100 of the world's leading experts at every facet of Metro Ethernet networks, and we had him tell us what it was that he wanted. And he did that. And in the course of conversation, he kept using the word carrier grade. And I'm sure everybody in this room has heard that word before, and I bet you if we took a poll, we'd get, however, 40 different definitions of carrier grade. But he had carrier grade down on his spec, and he was sticking to that. So as the moderator of these workshops, I said, please help us understand what you mean by carrier grade. Well, he started to explain it. Of course, what it turns out he meant was he wanted his network to be five nines reliable, end-to-end, you know, bulletproof, et cetera, et cetera. It didn't need that. We had long discussions about what carrier grade really meant in his particular situation, the implications of carrier grade for all the things that he was trying to do. At the end of the workshop, he saw me during the coffee break. He said, I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, his proposal, he was expecting it to be a $1.5 billion deployment. And afterwards he said, now that I have a clearer understanding of what carrier grade means and whether I need it or not all throughout my network, I have probably saved $500 million. That was, now I didn't follow up on that, I don't know if that's actually what happened, but that's what he got out of having a discussion with the whole supply chain. So that's one example. Another example, we had a workshop talking about satcom terminals we call them. KA and KU band SATCOM terminals. And we had a major satellite service provider from Europe make a presentation about their plans. In the audience, it just happened that the man responsible for designing that SATCOM terminal in a major U.S. Company was sitting there. And during the course of conversation, the service provider person said, here are the specs that we're looking for, here's what we're trying to accomplish, et cetera, et cetera. During the coffee break, this design manager and the service provider got together, and it actually also happened during the Q&A session. And he said, well, what would happen if you changed this and made this change and made that change? And the service provider said, well, of course, that makes perfect sense. And what I found out afterwards was that the design engineering manager had five layers of management between him and the customer, and he was prohibited from speaking to the customer. Well, as a result of this exchange, the product now was designed at a considerably smaller size, at a considerably lower cost, and at a considerably faster time to market. As a result of that, this company, in fact, this particular division at this manufacturing company, was so successful at winning that project that other divisions in that company were actually closed down in favor of the great success that this new design effort had materialized. And as side story, one of our other members in the audience heard what the service provider wanted and was a component manufacturer and was able to find ways to integrate many different functions into one structure, which the manufacturing company ultimately utilized, and the component company now has built an entire new business as a result of this discussion. That's example number two. Do I have time for one more example?
Can you save it for the discussion?
I can save it for any time you wish.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
May I just make one closing comment?
Of course.
Very quick. So I'd like to invite the service providers in this room to engage with the IWPC to help us communicate what you want to the supply chain, and we'll help you find ways to achieve the success that you are striving for. And our friend here from Sprint, Paul, are you still here? His company is hosting one of our workshops actually in 2 weeks. And Gabriel, I want to thank you again for hosting one of our workshops in December. So thank you very much.
Thank you.